motion on the minutes.
Minutes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Keith?
Okay, well, as we've been discussing a little bit before the meeting, we're going to be having an audit presentation in a few minutes for the audit. We just received the draft financials for the draft audit report about 45 minutes ago, so it's almost completely unreviewed at this point. I have not been made aware of any issues with the audit, but it's just what it is. And as far as financials goes, we still have almost $10 million, $9,892,000 in investments and cash related to FAD, and $5,112,000 for the others, for a total of about $15 million.
Any comments, questions? Linda, you want to do reporting and compliance?
Sure. For the reporting and compliance, we are up to date on most everything. With regard to compliance, we received two O&M checks to date from Putnam Valley and now Cisco. And when you flip over on the other side, we just have a few more pieces from different towns that we're waiting for, but overall we're in pretty good shape at this point. And that's it.
Which towns? I need to know if it's mine.
No, it's so. Not your town.
Yeah.
We're waiting for Newcastle. And I sent reminders for the past 2 months. North Castle, Newcastle. Yorktown, he's scheduled to do his ABO training, board member training, on April 5th, and then Kevin Byrne, I haven't been able to get anything from. So, that's it.
Questions, comments? Keith, you want to talk a little bit about the audit engagement letter? Or?
It's just typically we get an audit engagement letter months before the audit, and I received the audit engagement letter on March 7th. So we need to authorize it and Rich to be able to sign to engage the audit before we have the audit presentation.
And cost of the audit engagement is $15,229. Sure,
plus,
we can. We can put it out to bid.
Yeah. Plus, they charge us
like
for
a lot
additional
of
services for about
$4,000. For what we have to do. Right?
Yeah, it does.
Well, considering all the complexities of what we're doing and how the money has to go to different pots, I don't know that it's out of line. I know I'm paying a heck of a lot more for an audit.
Yeah. I'm considering just talking to you guys, find out who you guys use out there and put out to.
So I would suggest that you recommend that the audit committee consider RFPs for next year, and that is something that the audit committee is responsible for.
Well, is there any reason, did they give you a reason for being this kind of late with everything?
It's just, they haven't given me an actual reason. I think that my interpretation is they did a merger. We now, STAC was acquired by RBT, and I don't think they allocated sufficient resources for the audit. So
maybe it's just having a discussion with them.
It's possible. It just seems that whenever they ask me for something, I send it to them, and then it's like days before I get a response back from them that they received it, or they want something else, or they have a question about it, or so. I just don't think they allocated time and resources.
How much do you pay, Rich? How much do you pay for? I paid $23,000.
I'm just under 21.
Yeah. I'm the same area.
Yeah, and so for us, it's about the same. By the time they 15 something. For the audit, and about $4,000. When the bill was additional bill, was about $4,500 for the additional services, $4,500.
Yes.
So just under 20.
So let's plan on next year putting it out to bid.
Yeah. So we do need a motion to approve or to authorize Rich to sign the.
I'll make a motion to authorize Rich to sign the audit
engagement letter.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
All right.
We can go.
What? You can put the sound on now.
Oh, you have to turn on the speaker.
It's not my wall.
You can't talk?
No, I was just whispering that the speaker's been on the whole time.
Hello there.
Morning.
There we go.
And that's not a bad thing.
Can you hear us? No. You're all good? All right, thank you. Yep,
you've been troublemaker ever since you were a child, haven't you?
I have been. And I'm proud of it. You got to stir the pot to get the best soup.
Recording in progress.
All right, good to go.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So you're on.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my screen. Are you guys able to see the screen right now or no?
No, it's not showing up.
Okay. All right, so scratch that idea. I'm not going to share the screen. But I'm hoping
you
to go on top
give
of the
right to share the screen.
You can share the screen if you'd like to. You got to hit share the screen.
Yeah. I'm trying to give you the permission to do that.
A little green button, isn't it?
No, he has the
He's got a permission.
Oh no, there you go.
There you
do
go.
You have a copy of the report.
You're all good now.
We all have copy. We all have a copy of the audit report. That
there's some more copies here if you guys don't have it.
Don't give it to Billy. Oh my God, what did I do?
Excuse me, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. Could you just identify yourself, please, to the board?
Sure. I'm Joe Montalva. I'm the partner that's in charge of the engagement. And we are with RBT CPA. And Patty Brennan's here as well. She's in charge on the audit and has been as far as I can remember, right, Patty? 5, 6 years or even more than that. Yeah. So going through the first portion of the finance statement is the auditor's report, where we basically issue our opinion on the financial statements. We have issued an unmodified opinion, which is the highest opinion you can get, which means basically that we're comfortable with the financial statements and the fact that there's no material weaknesses or anything that's been materially misstated within these financial statements as a whole. It also references some supplementary information that we have within the financial statements and other reporting requirements, since we do have to comply with governmental auditing standards, even though we are a not-for-profit organization. The first portion of the financial statement here is the statement of financial position, which is basically the entity's balance sheet. We show it as a comparative basis from prior year to current year and prior year. Going through here, you'll see we've got totals for different sections or portions of the financial statements themselves. Total current assets, as we see, is up about $3 million from this year. Primarily what that is, it's a differential in the timing on when some of the long-term investments are coming due, that they're required to be reclassified as short-term investments this year as opposed to last year. So you'll see a significant change there due to that, but it's primarily because of the line there with the short-term investments and the timing when these investments are coming to maturity. Scrolling down, we also show our fixed assets that the organization owns, and then our right to use. This is a new lease standard that came through this year that required us now as long-term leases. To record portions of those leases as assets, since the entity has the benefit of these lease agreements going forward. when we get down to the total, we see our total assets are down about $700,000 from last year. Primarily, again, it's ends up being with the cash, because we got the bulk of cash there that we have invested in the bank account, and then we're spending that as we're going down from year to year. We come down below where our liabilities are. We report each individual current liability, accounts payable, the accrued expenses, the deferred income, the portions of that contract that we have not yet earned from that original $15 million deposit. And then coming down again to the deferred portion, other portion of the deferred, to get us to our total. And you see here, as it should, the total liabilities and net assets agree with the total asset balance above. Moving forward to the next screen, I've highlighted some of them. Unfortunately, I did the same thing throughout the report, and then in my infinite wisdom of trying to save things on the same thing, I ended up deleting what I had. So I did have it kind of mocked up like this in other sections, but unfortunately, this is the only portion I have saved here. What I've got here, we've got here, is a statement of activities. This is basically a summary of the organization's profit and loss statement for the year. We show the amounts with, you know, with donor restrictions and without donor restrictions. And we show them individually, the revenue side and individually in total. A couple of things that I highlighted, the program revenue amount is up $222,000 from last year. And our total revenue itself is up about $300,000 from last year, while our expenses are up about $250,000, which and result kind of comes through in the profit that we have this year, or what we call a change in net assets in a not-for-profit form. So this is for 2022. The next schedule that we provide is the same information for 2021. That's where I was getting my differentials from, or the ups and downs from the delta from year to year, comparing those specific amounts with these from 2021. The next schedule that we have is the statement of functional expenditures for expenses. What this is a detailed breakdown of the expenses that went into the summarized number on that previous report. A couple of the items that I highlighted here of that $250,000 in expenses, increase in expenses, majority of them fell within the consulting and construction side, as well as the BLM bubble compliance, which is good because that's what operations, that's the main operations of the organization. So we are spending our funds accordingly. The next portion that we have, and what you also see here is, what we have is we report program services as well as administrative in general. So there's these two, there are two programs that we have, the phosphorus removal and the O&M services, which make up our total program services. And that $1,377,039, if you were to refer back to the 2022 statement of activities, you would see that amount right here. And then the administrative in general, when we go back to the detail, you'll
Oh, we lost you.
They're frozen.
It's by the program services by the treatment.
Could you repeat what you just said? You locked up for a minute. I have about 20 seconds.
You got me now?
Yeah, we do now. But,
okay,
yeah.
Sorry about that. So what we're looking at this schedule here, we look at the total individual expenses.
I think we got most of that, but it was whatever you said in the last 20 seconds. I don't know if there was something...
I think I was just reiterating basically what I explained, showing how these numbers tie back into the previous schedule itself.
Okay.
And then again, the same schedule for 2021. And then the next portion we have is the statements of cash flows. What this statement does is it basically takes our change in net assets or our profit and loss of the organization, and then we classify different changes throughout the year, some cash activities and some non-cash activities, to basically tie back into our ending cash balances. So what you'll see is the $23,180 in change in net assets that were reported on the previous schedule, accompanied by these other activities here, some being non-cash, again, depreciation being a non-cash expense, gain or loss on the sale of investments is a non-cash event. And then the change in the actual balance sheet itself, which create some cash swings, the total basically coming down to what our ending cash balance is. And you see here we take the ending balance from last year's, the current year's beginning balance. Again, these numbers here now will tie to the previous schedule showing the net changes, and then the delta from all these is summarized from the other information on the previous schedule to get us to the ending cash balance, which agrees with the statement of net position in the first schedule we looked at. And again, this is from 21 and 22 on that same schedule. The next portion of the financial statements are the notes to the financial statements. The notes themselves, the first note, the nature of the business, is primarily a description of the organization and the types of services that are provided within the organization. I'm not going to reread those to you. Obviously, everybody's well aware of what those are. The next one is the significant summary of significant accounting policies. What we're required to do is go through and identify specific areas or policies that the organization has to have implemented, and we identify what those policies are in each individual section here. Then we go here, pervasiveness of estimates. This is basically just a regular disclosure saying that, you know, within the preparation of financial statements, there can be some estimates that are used or that management had to make, and we feel that there's no risk. We're comfortable with the estimations that were used within the financial statements, and we feel there's nothing that's been materially misstated. The next footnote we have, as we continue on here, are leases. The leases kind of explains the lease portion of it. It also goes in a little more detail on what I was saying as far as having the lease standards and what needs to now be disclosed and how it needs to be presented on the financial statements. The next portion here, the disaggregation of revenue. This is a breakdown of the revenue that was reported going back to page five, I believe, with the statement of net activities. I'm sorry, was there a question?
No, somebody coughed.
Note three, concentration of credit risk. This is just a required note that we have
so
to
right.
include
yes.
in our financial statements. We have to be identifying the fact that there are some FDIC insurance limits, and there could be times during the year where they're up or down over those limits. It's just a required red tape financial statement disclosure we have to include. The next one, the fair value measurement footnote here. This is a breakdown of the short and long term investments and how they're invested within each individual type of investment itself. We do a comparison here with the 2022 versus the 2021, showing the money market certificate deposit and the U.S. Treasury bill amounts invested. And this is the carrying amount and the market value as of the end of the year. Standing on, this is a little more of detail on the same information. We have to require to report it based on different levels. Level one being the quoted market prices and active markets for identical assets or liabilities, which is what the organization is invested in. We're able to identify current market values for these investments. Hence, that's why they're all in that level one. They're easily traceable to source documentation to allow us to determine what those are for. The next footnote here is the accounts receivable footnote. What we have here is a breakdown of the detail that goes into the accounts receivable. It looks like $172,000 of current year receivable dealing with the O&M bubble compliance, as well as a $95,000 amount from the U.S. Corps of Engineers. The next footnote is what we call a liquidity footnote. Again, another required footnote within our financial statements. It basically takes the cash and cash equivalents as of the end of the year, takes into account other highly liquid assets, and then pulls out some items that we feel aren't as liquid to basically show us what our financial assets are that are able to meet the needs of the general expenditures within the next coming year. So basically, this is a summary of cash and liquid assets, and showing how much we feel is available going forward if need be to be expanded within the next current year. scrolling down to the accounts payable. This is, again, similar to above. This is a breakdown of the balances in accounts payable as of the year. We pretty much have $104,000 in general accounts payable. And you see the OMB, bubble compliance payable, that amount is the same as the OMB bubble account receivable. And basically, that's because the organization does not disperse these funds to the other applicable authorities until they receive those monies from who it's owed to. So that those balances will normally agree with each other as of the end of the year. Going forward, the note 10 here is preferred revenue, and this is the explanation of the $15 million that was primarily funded. Going back to the filtration avoidance determination that was given by the New York City DEP. And then the amounts that we're recognizing as we're earning those amounts from year to year. This basically shows the breakdown of what's remaining in what we're calling deferred or unearned at this portion. Based on the different compliance sections here with the QIP and also with the FAD and then the New York State wastewater portion. Note 11, again, this is a bigger explanation or a greater explanation of the more detailed explanation, I should say, of the lease standard that we have required to implement this year. It gives a breakdown of the terms of the lease and how we're determining what the right of usage asset is on that lease for the upcoming year. Right. That number is recorded on the first page of the statement of financial position as an asset. Commitments and contingencies, this is just general information as far as contracts or agreements that are in place going forward. Related party transactions. This is a disclosure we have to make due to the fact that one of the board director's son is a partner in one of the engineering firms that does work for the organization, and that board member also does not or abstains from voting on any determination or any agreements with that particular vendor. So there's nothing in addition we need to disclose there. Change in accounting policy. This again is just a summary of the new lease implementation that we had to do. Unfortunately, our profession and all their wonders makes us do it multiple times for some reason. Pretty much regurgitating the same information. Moving forward, this is the supplementary information. What this schedule is it gives us a breakdown by individual county of the portions that are there for the quality improvement program and then also for the filtration avoidance determination. It gives us, again, the breakdown by county and then the totals themselves, which will then reflect the same amounts that were reported in the original schedules. Same type of detail, but just by county. It's a little broken down a little more by county than as we previously provided in summation on the other schedules themselves. That was for 2022. The next schedule here is the same exact schedule for 2021. Again, that number here, these numbers here will tie back into those reports, the financial statements in the original section of the report. Itself. Next schedule here is the FAD, a breakdown of the vendors and what has been the contracted amount and the balance remaining on these contracts. Basically, this is a summary of whatever has been agreed to and the amount that's still left in order to fulfill those contracts by individual vendor and by different contracts themselves. So obviously we see some vendors in there with multiple contracts, hence why we report the separate contracts as well in there to give the full disclosure there. Going forward down here, pretty much the same information. Going back, this is for, that is, I'm sorry here. Right, so this is the upstream, I'm sorry, the basin portion of it. So there's a couple different sections of it. the upstream basis, basins, and then also the FAD basins here. So each individual contract, again, shown separately for each different type, for both types, and again, by vendors. Other operating reporting required. So as I mentioned at the beginning, even though we are not-for-profit, we do have to comply with government auditing standards. This report here basically summarizes that fact and tells us that we also issued an unmodified opinion, basically saying that we found no material weaknesses or no significant deficiencies within the organization that we felt was needed to be reported based on government auditing standards. And then the last portion here is our report in regards to the New York State Public Authorities Law. We have to include this report in here, basically comply with New York State and their public authorities, Section 29253F, that each public authority has to comply with. So in short, that was the financial statements as a whole. Does anybody have any questions on those?
Yes.
Did everybody fall asleep? Sorry.
No, we have questions. I just want to note that the board just received this document this morning. And
yes.
So I want to ask you about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are aware, I'm sure, having reviewed Paris requirements and the requirements of our agreements with New York City DEP, that the board is required to file reports by tomorrow.
That's correct.
And I'm sure you would agree that the administration and the management here need to review your audit report in order to feel comfortable filing it.
Agreed, 100%, yes.
Agreed. There were some changes that had happened and occurred in these financial statements. We have at RBT a quality control that the financial statements are required to go through before we can share them with the organization. I got that approval late last night, and that's why it came through this morning. Prior to leaving to that point, we had a couple changes and adjustments we needed to post to these financial statements in order to have them not have any immaterial misstatements included in them. One of the important schedules that did tend to slow us down is that FAD schedule, which is, I believe, a DEC requirement as part of your filtration avoidance agreement. Our understanding is that BAC supplemental schedule is a requirement for that agreement. We do have to provide some due diligence on that BAC schedule to make sure we are, in fact, reflecting correct amounts as remaining balances. And in doing so, in that reconciliation process, it did take some time to identify which items were being reported as FAB were incorrectly being reported in FAB, and therefore your monthly expense schedule needed to be updated to be in agreement, in fact, with those FAB expenditures.
So in
the process, unfortunately, it's a chain of events. I can't ask a quality control reviewer to review something that's not reconciled and tied out.
So we had things misrepresented to FAB that should have been sent?
Not at this point, no. In this draft financial statements, the items that are reflected under FAB, particularly in your functional expense schedule where it reflects your consultant and construction, those items need to be tied up to that FAB back schedule. If the funding organization, DEC, has changed or updated the requirement of that schedule, that's not an audit requirement, it's back supplemental schedule. If they have changed that requirement, we could pull that out of financial reports, and we would not have to provide due diligence on those supplemental schedules.
But. Right, so again, just to summarize, kind of, this is not a required statement, but it is a contractual requirement with the DEC. And again, this takes a good portion of time to make sure that all the information that is being provided on this schedule, we have to opine upon it as part of our audit process. So there's additional procedures that we need to do on it to make sure that it agrees in whole with what we're reporting as part of the audited financial statements.
Is this the same as last year? Was anything different than last year?
No, they're still required to have it.
Okay.
From,
so our process here is the audit committee looks at it, they review it.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes to us, we review it, and there's just no time left, really, for the audit committee to even get involved at all.
So the bigger issue here is if we review this, because you're giving us 24 hours to review this before we have to file it, that's not a lot of time. If there are changes that are needed to this, can they be done today so that we can file this tomorrow? Or has it got to go back through that whole quality review process, which means we're never going to be file it?
In theory, it would have to go back through the quality control process, but if we're talking about specific items, I don't foresee it being an issue with us getting those addressed directly.
They are aware of a filing deadline that the organization is under pressure to meet with Public Authority Bureau. They are aware of that deadline. So if there's a change that needs to be made, it's made a priority that is looked at today, reviewed and approved today or tomorrow. It's a priority. It is on the radar as
all right, let me bring something up to staff, a question to staff, which Chris just brought up to me. We also have funding to do a sewer study, $300,000. Have we received any of that funding?
Yes, we got, $75,000?
Yeah, page 10 says we will.
But that was in 2023, right?
No, we got that $75,000 in 2022.
Is that included in here?
Yeah.
There's a $72,000 figure in here. That's what you mean.
We've used a couple thousand dollars of admin costs.
But if it's a $300,000 grant, why does it say $72,000?
We haven't received the money.
Well, what have you received?
$75,000.
Right, because it's a reimbursement grant.
We right. received 75.
Oh, you received
in advance.
I beg your pardon. You received in advance.
Yes.
Correct.
Wait, but you received an advance of 75, and you've expended how much of that?
1,500 or something like that.
Just an administrative. We haven't gotten a bill for that.
Legal fees and admin costs.
So, okay.
The only comment I would have is the last paragraph on page 10, I think. Is that what you're looking at?
I'm looking at 15, actually.
It says we will hire somebody. We've already hired people, so I don't know if that needs to be changed.
Yeah, that too. The other question I have is regarding the supplemental schedules. Do those supplemental schedules include or exclude the $300,000 grant project? There's a question for the auditors.
So your $300,000 awarded grant is not an expense grant, so that is not in your supplemental schedule. There is not $300,000, it's awarded, it has not been received, only $75,000 has been received. The supplemental schedules are reflecting expenditures, and I think there's only, a little under $2,000 in admin costs that have been expensed. Those are, in fact, in your supplemental schedules.
But they shouldn't be, because the supplemental schedules are created for DEP's compliance requirement. Can I finish my question? Mm-hmm. The purpose of those supplemental schedules is to comply with the DEP reporting requirement. They're supposed to state the sources of funding for the projects that we've incurred under that agreement, QIP, FAB, whatever. But those don't have anything to do with the $300,000 grant and the staff expenditures or whatever contractual expenditures we've incurred to date in 2022 having to do with that project. So my question is, are those expenditures that have been incurred in 2022 shown in this schedule of expenses? And should they be or should they not be?
They are included in the schedule under the water improvement. Now, if the organization would like to have it broken out into an additional program split out between the water improvement and the two different counties, that can be included. But that would be an additional breakout on that supplemental schedule, like on page 18. It would need to be pulled out of the water improvement program and reflected as another program. I think we want to caution into creating too many various programs on these back schedules that will become problematic to read. Perhaps a other stormwater program could be included.
Well, I want to be really clear that the whole point of these schedules is to comply with the DEP's contractual requirement, and the source of funds is not part of that contract.
Keith, is it possible to pull those out from the water improvement? Are they coded under a different funded program code?
They have a different fund code, yes.
So for to be compliant purposes, we can pull it out. They still need to be on this schedule in a column or perhaps in a separate column.
It'd be relatively easy to do. There's just two lines. One was compensation and the other one was legal.
You're running out of time.
I'm at page 15, not page 10, note 10 on page 15.
Yeah.
Just the bottom, it says we will retain. I don't know if that needs to be cleaned up, but at least we have retained. Right, first paragraph, 2022, we will.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how this is written half the time here in 2022, we write this.
Right.
Keith, a quick side question. The report says we're in a accrual method of accounting.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were doing modified accrual. No?
I think we just call it the accrual method.
What's modified accrual?
Modified accrual.
So accrual method is everything you get, you record when you get it, and everything you spend, you record when you spend it. And modified accrual is where you kind of account for some of your expenses before you've actually paid them.
Right. But that's basically the accrual method.
I know, but other audits that I've gone through recognizes the difference between a straight accrual method and a modified accrual method.
I don't know, Patty and Joe, did you hear that question or the comment about whether it's called accrual method or modified accrual method? I don't believe there's any difference, but...
Correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but under a modified accrual process, there's certain account lines that you are not encompassing the full accrual on. So there are certain organizations that don't record on a full accrual. Your statements are on a full accrual. Some organizations will adopt, well, I'm only going to pick up my fixed assets because I want to carry this fixed asset to my financial position, but they're not going to record an accrual for, let's say, payroll expenses. That would be a modified accrual.
So these are full accrual financial statements.
I think there just a couple of notes on page 15 that just need a minor correction. In note 10 on the first paragraph, I think you're saying your last line seems to say that the original WQIP funds are only allowed to be used out of the FAD. Right.
Only in the county.
I mean, we are focusing that money now, but that's not what's required by the contract. And second, I think Warren noted, but I think you were frozen then. In the third paragraph, you've said the organization will retain qualified consultants. I mean, it is the case that they've hired a consultant for this contract. And they did that when did we hire? In December? Or was
no,
it January?
It was before that.
Was it 12?
Yeah, okay. So it was before the end of the year. Okay?
Just
a minor issue, but they have already done that.
Yeah, I think what we're disclosing there is that the part of the agreement here is that you will retain it throughout the term of throughout the term of the contract itself.
Okay, well, it's just the point is that they did incur a contract, and I want to make sure you're aware of that.
Yes, we are aware. I think I chose the word rather than being a past tense. My impression was that there might be more than one contract to retain. If it in fact is this one contract that there will be retained, we could change to be a past tense reference.
It's just one.
Yeah.
Wooded and Carbon, I think, right? Wooded and Carbon. So it's Woodard and Curran, and they're doing the study for us.
Okay. So it's the organization has retained.
Yes. I don't remember the date. Was it October, September? It was a while ago. Right?
Yeah, I don't recall, but
it's already 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right around probably October, it's like board of directors meeting.
And I'm sorry, can you go back to the first paragraph? There was a reference that this needs to be corrected to reflect the actual agreement requirement, the funding agreement?
Well, the WQIP money can be spent only in the counties that gave us the WQIP, so there's some from Putnam and some from Westchester. The Putnam money's gone. There's still some Westchester money, and it can be spent any place in Westchester County.
But the point is, you've got out of filtration avoidance areas, which is not correct.
We can spend it in the fan base.
That note is not correct.
So it can be spent in the FAD.
Yeah, it's completely fungible in the county, any place, FAD or not.
I mean, I would take that one step further. I thought the governing agreement there was the county IMA.
Well, I mean, I want to rewrite their note for them, but I think that part is just incorrect. I don't disagree, I'm just...
Gotcha.
Are these the same schedules that we've had always? So from DEP's perspective, the nature of the schedules meets your requirements?
As board, and I have didn't read the contract before I came here, but the contract does want to see that
right,
ones.
Right, right, understand.
Yeah,
right,
and
right.
Right. As far as I understand it, this looks similar to what I've seen in the past.
And internally, at least, we have accounted for the 300 grant separately, so we can certainly do that for you.
Yeah, if you're saying that whatever 1,700 that was spent is part of that 300,000.
It's part of the QIP.
It's part of the QIP.
That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. So, I mean, we could give it to you separately. I'm just saying, in the future, I would ask them to break that out because I think that, you know.
Well, it'd be better for both.
Before you give us a finding, I want to.
I would think the county would want it broken out. I think we would want it broken out.
Right. So, I mean, we can certainly do that, right?
Yeah, but wouldn't it be better broken out in this document?
Okay, so before we get too far in this, we are running out of time on Zoom.
Okay.
And unless there's any comments directly or questions.
Yeah, so it would be nice if that contract was broken out in the document, so when they look at it.
Okay. What I'd like everybody to do is when you have the time today, hopefully review this, send your comments to Keith by email. Keith can get them to the auditor, we can make the adjustments.
Can you give them a second little footnote schedule
that
breaks out that
dimension on
300 expenditures? Maybe we could do it that way with a footnote. Can we do a footnote to the schedule that says these are the expenditures for that?
On the bottom
and that will, rather than redoing the whole schedule.
Yes.
Right?
Is that
something you could do?
All right, so for the auditors.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we're good at this point. And thank you for your presentation.
And I'll talk to both of you, or I'll talk to you, Patty, shortly after the meeting.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care.
Did you hear what I just suggested? I said it very quickly. So I suggested that Keith prepare just a supplemental footnote for that chart that breaks out what we've spent for the 300, because it's very simple, right? It's a little bit of money. And that could just be in a footnote, and maybe we'll get them to do that. For this year.
Official.
That's what I'm suggesting that we try to do.
That way it's even
rather than trying to break every column down, right, which they're never going to get done.
Right.
And since it's only 1,700, that's fine, but I think for next year.
Yeah, we can maybe do it in a different presentation next year.
I mean, I'm going to say this, it's very difficult for me to sit here and say what is acceptable or not acceptable.
That's two, I know. We just got this two.
Sounds reasonable to me.
Well, I'm trying to find a way to get it into the document for this year.
I guarantee
is that doable?
Not acceptable to somebody.
Okay.
I'm sure it's
or in New York City.
It's two items, so it's just a matter of... They have to
put
it stick a foot
on
it.
Is the future tense of we will hire somebody.
Okay.
We already have because we have an expense.
I don't know.
Kind of expensive.
That's all I saw with it.
Well, like I said, if there's anything else, if anybody comes up with it, you can shoot Keith an email.
We're going to have to going forward, because if we do more of a wastewater thing out there, that's going to require an entire either separate schedule or separate...
Agreed.
They can put it on another page.
Yes.
I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
I'm surprised a little bit that it's less past them that they would have just thrown here. That doesn't seem like the right way to do it to me.
That's why I called it out.
You seem to know all the different aspects of it. So.
Yeah.
All right, that being said, I'd like to make a motion to authorize submission of the audit report to Paris upon review and approval by the corporation treasurer and controller.
I'll make the motion. I'll second.
Well, you can make the motion.
I made the motion. You can second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Mike.
Are we good? All right, now, to finish our former conversation, this needs to go to the audit committee. Then it goes back to the executive committee, to the full board. Am I just making a motion to send it to the audit committee, or am I making a motion to approve the audit?
Well, we normally wouldn't have done that. We would normally do it.
I think all we're doing is accepting the presentation of the auditor, and then the audit committee will actually pass it on to, correct?
They'll get it. We never would have made a resolution, send it to them. They get it before we get it.
Right.
Yeah, we're supposed to.
So I think we just say, here it is, and we have a timeline issue, and, you know,
well,
if you have any good comments, let us know.
Chris wanted us to do something.
Well, to schedule a formal meeting.
What would you like us to do, Chris?
Yeah.
I mean, we just approved to
submit it to Paris.
To submit this to Paris once we make these couple of changes.
Right, subject
then
to
after
you
that,
two.
We can do a formal audit committee meeting and
right. I think that's appropriate
to the EC next
for you and Warren to meet with the audit committee and go through all of this. Yeah. I think that would be good.
All right. So what I did
that?
Is what
so
I did
you
is
schedule
good,
it.
So okay.
As soon as possible,
before the next EC meeting, I would think.
So what I did is good enough for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, because you wanted something to the audit committee.
Well, I mean, I just think that the even if we didn't have time this time, the audit committee should still take this document and review it, you know, with management.
Absolutely.
Right, that's all I was saying.
Okay.
Right? I don't want to just, yeah.
All right, then we're good. Moving on.
Well,
okay.
So what you just did is it was a resolution or not?
Yes.
Well, did we pass that resolution?
Yes.
You did vote on it?
A motion, not a resolution, right?
A motion.
Well, it's
fine.
A motion. Yes, it's a motion. Anybody know the difference between a motion and a resolution?
Did we all say
we didn't vote on it?
We did say aye.
I
we did on the first one. Did
you do it on
the
only one I know who ever knew that.
Did they do this last time?
I'm so sorry. Well, I lost like 30 seconds here.
Last one.
We voted on the first one.
Yes, they've done the audit for...
And we're good. And we're done.
Before I've been
so this is not a surprise.
The first one was to do the Paris and approve it, and we're going to look at it. But the second one, they said that that's not a resolution.
All this time, and they still gave it to you at the 11th hour.
They did, our audit firm merged with another firm, and as I said, I don't believe they allocated enough resources for the time, you know, because an auditor goes and they get scheduled to do 10 other jobs up there,
in.
So
yeah.
They got sent off to other jobs, and they try to fill in when they have free time, and free time right now.
Yeah, because her excuse sounded just like a bunch of political double talk.
Yeah, basically it was.
Just you should have scheduled. That.
Were they on the call?
Correct.
Were they listening to us when we were talking about going out to?
For the no, I don't
so.
Think
no.
So. I don't think they were.
No, they were not.
On the
call. No,
they were
definitely not.
Yeah.
So we're 78,000. I texted and asked. That's what ours cost.
Yeah, ours is 20.
Well,
it's much bigger.
It's a little bigger.
And much more gaspy, whatever that is.
we don't do that. We're fasby here, right? What are we?
Fasby.
Yeah, we're not gaspy.
Yeah.
All right.
Are we good?
Yes, sir.
Keith, you're on.
I'm on.
I do it every damn time, don't I? Kevin, you're on.
One day.
Every time.
I never remember after the defense. I get confused. It's Henry Fitzgibbons,
Fitzgerald.
Sooner or later, I know the right name.
That guy in the corner. No significant updates since last month. However, we are, since we're coming into spring, we're getting ready for planting season on a few of the open construction projects. Conveniently, we have the two town supervisors in the room where we see our next projects coming into in Carmel and Lewisboro. And some of those involve a series of catch basin filters, others more robust construction, but I see those being the next group of projects that we'll move into active construction on coming into the spring. I've been working with the town engineer in Carmel to wrap up Marina Drive, which is around Lake Manapack, and multiple property owners that are getting on board with some catch basin inserts on their properties and within the municipal right-of-way. The next round of design submittals are coming in. I expect after that to be in for PCMB 1000 at Putnam County project that should net us close to 9 kilograms, as well as some of the heavy hitters that have 33 kilograms, 25 kilograms, etc. So we'll see our number jumping up pretty quick as we get into the summer. No other specific updates. I've heard no other news from New York State DEC regarding any updates to the MS4 permit or requirements for phosphorus reduction in the future, but we are still looking forward to getting that communication.
How's the North Sound one going right now?
It's going good. We're getting down to plantings and just working with the property owner.
Pictures early on?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, we try to get as many pictures as possible.
I've never been down to the bottom of the thing.
As a matter of fact, we found a second trench during construction.
A second trench?
Yes, that'll net us another 8 kilograms on the project.
Wow.
It's that large.
Is there enough money to fix them both?
Yes. Yeah. It's because it's an easy construction to tie it in.
So this is pretty,
it won't be a change order for it, but it will be a work change directive.
I've literally never been to the bottom. I'm too scared because it's so wooded. I was too scared to get to the edge because it kept on falling in.
Yeah.
So I've never really seen the bottom of it. I know if you fell in, you wouldn't get out.
Don't fall in.
No, we're recommending no one falls in during the construction process. But yes, everything's going smoothly, and we expect to have that wrapped up in April per the property owner's request.
Or
just sped them down to plantings.
Back to the MS4 permit, the DEC is starting to schedule classes on the MS4 permit update for the fall. Which means they intend to implement the damn thing before the fall.
Okay.
So have you looked at the thing that came in?
The new permit? Have you seen a new permit?
I thought you were alluding to the fact that there was a new permit just now.
No, I'm alluding to the fact they're scheduling classes. There is no new permit as of yet. No, they haven't released anything. And you listen, you're on the coalition, chain of emails.
Oh, I know. I haven't
seen anything.
I heard that it was... Yeah, that with the housing compact and waiving secret, everything was kind of being held up a little bit. But that whole thing was quite the, well, it's still a mess.
Still a mess.
I had, and not to digress, but I was at it was a meeting we had. We were talking on Channel 12, and there was a bunch of folks down in North Castle, a bunch of elected officials from both sides of the river. And every municipality you talk to, the supervisor, the mayor, has a different, take on the thing. And none of them are really positive. White Plains doesn't care and Yonkers doesn't care. They're fine. I think Rochelle, the big cities. But Liz Feldman, who's the supervisor of Ossining, I had no idea what her position was, but she got her in front of the TV camera. And she said, she's on Hudson River Town. There's a couple of them also that were just agreeing with her. All the land over there that hasn't been built on, all the industrial parks that are completely contaminated. And the reason they haven't been built on it is because nobody can get past secret. And now we're waiving secret on all these things with lead and antimony and all this other crap. And she goes, they're going to get built on. And, what are you going to do once they get built? Who's going to resolve all the problems? So I talked to David Warren also about it. I sent a letter in from the East Hudson. I think everybody probably saw it. I sent it out to everybody. And I think I talked to Christine about it. And I said, look, here's the first cut. She said, well, take this out. You can't be condemning it. You just kind of delay some facts out, which is what I did. But I was told by Steve Otis and some of the folks from Down County that have no idea. They don't really know where they are. That they were handing it around to all the New York City folks and stuff, too. And he said it made a difference in getting some of them, on their side. However, the governor, last I talked, the governor wasn't talking to anybody. She didn't want to talk to them about it. So I think one of the senators on the Finance Committee just recently suggested that there's no way we're going to get this done in just a couple of weeks, so let's pull it out, put it in as regular legislation, which would be a wonderful thing. Because right now it's an Article 7 bill. But in any event, I digress, but I know everybody, we didn't have a meeting since I kind of put the letter together. Appreciate everybody's support.
The informational letter.
Yeah, it was in, well, it was, that's how it came across.
Thank you.
In fact, David Warren, he read it and sent it around to a few folks. He was like, basically, he didn't say it, but they didn't talk to the DEP at all, as far as he's aware. Nobody talked to anybody there. So he was pretty confused as to how they could say that, because they've ceded a lot of their New York State regulations to DEP to support, you know, regulate this area. So he's not quite sure how they can just waive things when New York City is responsible for a bunch of stuff legally.
Did the EP put in a position statement on this legislation?
Not that I'm aware of.
Interesting.
No, I think he said he does have a lobbyist, but he can't really use it. He can't. It's kind of hard for him to lobby against the government budget.
Yeah.
So they're not going to jump in about the whole.
That's why he said thank you for writing the letter.
So all the nonsense that we have to go through, and they're just going to let their water get contaminated in the end.
Well, in the end, you know, the governor said there's two issues, it's health and safety, and if anybody comes to us with those two issues, that's all we're going to listen about, nothing else. We don't care about off-street parking, setbacks, nothing. How high, we don't care about any of that. It's health and safety. So I'm sure if you go in with a health and safety issue and it's like we're screwing up New York City water, they said they listen to that, you know, their housing, the state housing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they said waiving environmental laws, specifically Article 8, which is secret. So I don't understand. The whole thing's quite a mess. And the Builder and Realty Institute, BRI, I'm getting things all the time. They're just pushing like crazy and how wonderful the plan is. It's even Yvonne. Vivian, Mayor Pete's got to go last night. She signed on the WMOA letter, Westchester Municipal Officials letter, and she also was quoted on the governor's letter how wonderful it was for the housing. But again, you know, when you talk to those folks, again, a completely different view on the problem. She said, you know, the places that'll get ripped down and built up in Peekskill are all along the river. And once you get those nice high rises along the river, nobody else in Peekskill will ever see the Highlands again, right? She goes, why would I do that to my city? And so everybody had a different view on it. And
I think if everybody took the opportunity to see what the exact impact, how many units you would end up in your communities from this insane legislation, you know, it would be really eye-opening.
Well, not everybody has, like, you don't have a train station. But the next go-around is going to be next to a transit center, which is... Right. A year ago, was a bus with a covered bus station with five parking lots, five parking spaces. Go a half mile around that.
You know, we ran the numbers in Patterson, 17,000 units.
Yeah, for me it was 2,500. Wow. So I asked him, I called up and asked the question to Brandon, that is my governor liaison in this area, this goes back a bit ago. I said, Brandon, I can take out highways, rec, and cemeteries. I said, can I take out all the DEP property? He goes, that's a good, or do I have to take whatever that is and stick it someplace else, which is what they were talking about. That's an interesting question. We'll go check. We'll get right back to you, of course. Never got back to me. Because obviously, Crooked Falls and Purdy's, I mean, the Purdy's parking lot is on DEP property.
Yeah, that's like Owens Bridge and Westboro, same thing.
Yeah. So I said, do I have to design this for 100 units per acre? It's really ridiculous. So anyway.
All right, O&M.
All notices, and as discussed earlier, have been sent out. We've received a few in already. We're hoping to wrap this up in the spring with all the towns, and then we'll pass on all of necessary information to Westchester County for review and possible reimbursement to Westchester municipalities. As we're getting into the spring, Corey and I will be annoying everybody, as usual, to make sure everything is being taken care of, and anything that we felt needed attention last year gets that attention this year. But no other substantial updates for O&M.
Any other business?
Yeah. Got a call from Tom Duffy at 67 Vales Lane. Vales Lakeshore Drive, he's the one that had the catch basin inserts in front of the house. There were two people that were looking for coverage, 65 and 67 Lakeshore. They happen to be in the town of Southeast, so they know me very well concerning the Peace Lake Sewer District. So he came in and saw me last week. The other company, the other house, their insurance covered them because they had some extra flood coverage or something. So they got $30,000. He's spent about $18,000 on his house. He said some of that was just sweat equity for him. But he has a bill that he's paid of about $9,000 or $10,000, and he'd be happy if he could even get that. I think, you know, I'm looking at it, and I know.
Can I just sure. stop you right now and say that this is a matter in litigation, and if you're going to discuss
well, it's not
this,
litigation. What
it's
is it in litigation?
Been tendered to your insurance company, and they have assigned an attorney. So I suggest that you go into an attorney-client session.
Okay.
Okay. If you're going to discuss this, so you can make a motion, please.
Make a motion to go into executive session for legal.
I'll move second.
Regarding a claim.